What's going on, everybody? I'm Jay, and this is the Rewatch Podcast. I watch movies all the time. Then I like to rewatch them, and sometimes I'll even watch them again. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad or just downright terrible. I'm going to watch them and then tell you all about them. And sometimes I'll have special guests join me. This is the Rewatch Podcast. Welcome back to the Rewatch Podcast. I am Jay Thomas. This week we are taking a look at a movie that I have not seen for, I would guess, 20 plus years, if not more. The Boy Who Could Fly.
What if a bad witch put an evil spell on Eric, and all he needs is the kiss of a young maiden to turn him back into a prince? That's beautiful.
Between the night and the dawn.
What's going on?
Shh. Have you ever seen him do anything weird? That's all I've ever seen him do.
Between the wind and the clouds.
Eric, how'd you get in here? All he does is sit in his windowsill and pretend to fly.
Between a silent young boy.
He was following you, mimicking you, wanting to be like you.
And a loving young girl.
Eric, get away from the edge!
Would you be afraid of a balloon falling?
Lies an amazing secret.
Eric!
Did you see him fly?
Somebody called me. You can fly.
Maybe if you wish hard enough and love long enough, anything's possible.
And I brought my good friend Heidi back to join us. Heidi, welcome.
Hi, thanks. Just like you, I remember this movie from a long time ago, and I have so much to say about it. It would not, pun intended, it wouldn't fly this day and age.
It's
so.
An interesting, yeah, there's some things that probably wouldn't work so well. but I will say, and I was very pleasantly surprised, I still kind of loved it.
Okay, me too. If I overlooked a lot of the things we'll discuss.
Yes.
I liked it. Because wait, oh yeah, I'll save it. Because I can't wait to tell you who I had a crush on in this movie. It's not who you think.
I can't wait to find out. So if you are unfamiliar with this movie, it was directed by Nick Castle, who's actually the original Michael Myers in the Halloween, the first Halloween movie. And actually, he and John Carpenter are both in this movie in one brief little moment when Millie and her friend Geneva, which I laughed every time she said her name. I don't know why. I just thought that name was silly. But they're watching like MTV or music videos, and that it's there and there, which I thought was, I was like, oh, I know those people. That's weird.
So was that not a real band? Because I was watching that music video, and you know, I love me some music, and I pride myself on knowing things, but I was like,
especially from the 80s.
Is it real? Is it real?
That I'm not exactly sure. I just know it's them.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't look into it that far. This movie stars Lucy Deakins, who was in this, and she was in The Great Outdoors, which I thought she was great in both of them.
I just got here. I'm from
Chicago.
How'd you know?
Look, it's no big trick, dude. Live all your life in this town, it becomes like second nature.
Guess this means that I'm at my first local.
You don't know how local I am.
Also, the Disney movie Cheetah, which I've never seen, but I literally almost watched it immediately after watching this.
And do you know, in real life right now, she's a practicing lawyer. So, bam, there you go.
Yeah, I saw a lot of crazy stuff of things that she's done. I was looking at the trivia. She was like EMT and a bunch of different things. I'm like, wow. She also did Law and Order in 2002.
Yeah.
Which I watched the clip from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's in this. And then we got Jay Underwood, who was in The Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes. Or no, that's not it. That was Kurt Russell. It was not quite human. That's what I'm
thinking. Yes. And also, let us not forget the guy, I don't want to call him Rapey McRaper face, but I'm going to, from Uncle Buck.
Yes, Bug, I believe was his name.
Bug, that's right.
His name is Bug.
First or last?
First.
What's his last name, Spray?
Bug, I kept seeing him like, oh, you look so sweet and innocent, but in a few years.
Which is kind of fun because the two of them then both starred in two different John Candy movies.
That's right.
I also love.
Oh, hey.
They're in this. And then, of course, Fred Savage, just about becoming a super mega star in this. And actually, I remember him being in this movie more. This whole movie, he's on a mission to get around the block. He like thinks he's a G.I. Joe. And in my head, I thought there was a lot of attempts at going around the block, but there's only like two or three.
Right. That. Yeah.
I don't know why, but I was like, oh, yeah, it happens all the time. And then the mom is played by Bonnie Bedelia from Die Hard. And I thought her and Lucy Deakins looked a lot alike. Like,
they did.
I thought they could be mother and daughter.
And it goes to show what a haircut will do to you, because she looks a lot older in this movie than she does in Die Hard. And I was like, what's happening?
Fred Gwynne plays Eric, who's Jay Underwood, his drunken uncle. And I love Fred Gwynne from The Munsters. And well, basically just The Munsters.
No. My Cousin Vinny. Let us not forget.
My Cousin Vinny. That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
And then, of course, Mindy Cohn from The Facts of Life is Geneva.
Yes.
And then there's other people in it, but that's not quite as important as.
Oh, we'll get to one who is important.
Okay. I'm very excited. So I don't remember the last time I watched it. We've talked about doing this since at least last October. And then we were finally able to get it. I finally watched it yesterday, and I was, there's some things that probably wouldn't work this day and age, but, overall, I really liked this movie a lot. I feel like I'm a little kid watching it again.
I did too. So did they ever say where they moved from and where they moved to? 'Cause I was really trying to figure out what city was this supposed to be. I understand probably why they moved, but that to begin with, I was like,
I don't know. I feel like they moved in the same town because
really?
The way it sounded. So like the family, Millie and her brother and her mom moved to this house after the father died. And, but the mom was like an insurance person, same as the dad. And then it seems like she's going to work for the place that he worked at.
And I took it as, oh, her husband was this big insurance guy. Maybe that was like the home office and he worked in a different state. And so it was sort of like, oh, your husband. Oh, you do this too? I had no idea.
It could be anywhere. It's anywhere USA is where they're at.
I know. And then, first of all, I love their house. I loved it. I love the character. Did I like the wallpaper in the bedrooms? No. Did I like that it was very almost 40 years ago when the mom said, oh, it's boys wallpaper. And I found myself saying, bish, that could be for anybody. It's not just boys. It's just wallpaper. Yeah. Also, they're there for what? A day? And is that when the friend comes over and she's like,
Geneva?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
She comes over the first, I mean, it's the first day they're unpacking.
Oh yeah.
Just throwing herself in and looking like she's about 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She wasn't though. She was only like 20, but yeah, she's like getting into all their stuff and just barging in. She's the like annoying next door neighbor, but for the kids.
Right. Yeah. And is it that night, Millie sees the neighbor for the first time sitting on his windowsill?
Yes. I believe so. Eric, the neighbor, just directly across from her room. Likes to sit outside of his windowsill and put his arms up like he's a plane.
Help me, Jay. So they kept showing a photo of Eric when he was little with both of his parents.
Uh-huh.
Are we to just assume that they're dead? Like, what happened to them? Did they die?
Oh, they died in a plane crash.
Oh my God. When was that revealed?
I don't know, but there was a rumor going around that. So I guess it's rumors, but I mean, his parents aren't there, that they were on a plane somewhere and they crashed, and at the same time Eric somehow knew about it, and that's when he started acting like he was a plane.
Oh my God, this changes everything.
They say that somewhere in the movie. I can't remember.
Okay.
I think it's when Millie, so they sort of form this little connection, and kind of, I mean, it takes a little while, but
it was forced upon them in gym class first. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Millie's like, I guess, because, you know, nobody really wants to hang out with her because she's the new girl and she's nice. And that's the neighbor kid. So she's like, yeah, I'll go work with him. And he kind of gets a little bit of an attachment to her. And I felt bad for her sometimes. And I remember this even when I was a kid, like when she's helping him and she genuinely seems like she wants to help this guy and be his friend. But she's constantly like looking off at like the popular group and like wanting to hang out with them, but then feeling like she's stuck there. And I was like, I wonder if that's what people felt like with me sometimes.
Oh, whatever. Stop it.
It crossed my mind even when I was a kid.
Oh my God. Well, look at me. I'm hanging out with you now as an adult. And I chose this.
I mean, I did have to beg you since October, but it's no big deal. Whatever.
Oh my God. I just want to talk about, I forget, she's a famous actress. I know this. And I know she's probably dead now, but she is the one who is like Eric's main sort of.
Oh, the teacher, Colleen Dewhurst.
Okay.
Yeah,
and she's very much famous.
She was in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like she was in a lot of like Disney Channel things when we were growing up.
Oh, maybe that's
Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, Anne of Green Gables. Yes, yeah, she plays. Yep, that's it. That's how I know her.
I knew that's what you would. I knew that's what you would jump at.
Every girl knows. Yes. Okay. But she's pretty much like, listen, they have sent him away, this boy, because he's not being properly cared for by his uncle. And, you know, they didn't understand.
A very big drunk.
Very big drunk. But yet everybody seemed okay with it. And he was funny and it was weird. But so she's like to this girl, to Millie, hey, listen, I've just met you, girl. And I know you're a teen, but I'm going to throw you in there with somebody who's neurodivergent. But we're going to call him the R word in this movie. And he should probably hang out with, and I quote, normal people. Yes. So, and she's like, okay. And then the worst, she's like pimping her out to him, but it's like, I'll get you extra credit. It can be a science. It can be a project. Then she was like, okay.
I didn't look at it like that at all. The phrase pimping her out never crossed my mind yesterday. But well, I mean, yeah, he starts like mimicking things that she does, and this teacher sees it and it's like, oh, this is the most he's ever opened up. Literally ever. And they don't, one person says they heard that he's autistic, but no one else ever really says that. It's funny, I never really thought of that when I was a kid. I thought he was just like traumatized from his parents dying in a plane crash.
And it could be that. I definitely think it's more of the latter than the former, because obviously we'll talk about the ending, because I know a few autistic kids and they can't do what he does. So
then I wondered, like, are they using that as a reason why he all of a sudden can actually fly? Because spoiler alert, this guy does fly.
He does.
In my head, I was thinking, going into rewatching this, I'm like, please say he actually flies and it's not like in their head like the movie Radio Flyer probably is.
Oh god.
And that's actually a super dark, disturbing movie. Yeah. When I got older and I was like, wait a minute, what's actually happening here? He didn't just fly away. But in this, yeah, no, it's, he has the ability to fly. And it's just like a lot of other 80s movies, there's no reason given. He can just do it.
And then the amount of montages and like the daydreams and all the stuff and all the death that's involved. Because let's go back to Millie a second. So we find her mom crying with the picture of the family in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then we figure out, oh, dad's dead. Okay, that's sad.
She keeps saying that she thinks that she felt like they were missing something. They were forgot something.
Yes. So like these kids are already bonded by their trauma of losing parents so young.
I think it just happened like not too long before the movie starts.
Yes. And then do you remember that part? Of course you do. Where they invite Eric over for dinner, which is, I'm going to say, one of the most uncomfortable family dinner scenes I've seen. Yeah. But like, oh, it's after that, after everybody's getting yelled at by mom. And then mom's like, oh yeah, we have this effing kid over here. I should probably like.
Yeah, the mom's not doing well at work. Like she's been demoted because she can't figure out computers.
And to be fair, did you see that computer? You and I both would have been demoted too. What is that ancient piece of crap? Yes, but anywho. Yes.
So Millie's like in charge of the house basically and cooking dinner and taking care of Lewis, Fred Savage. And the mom just gets real snippy about everything. And then it becomes a big fight.
Mom, I was framed. See,
go to your room. I thought you were supposed to be helping me.
I am helping you.
You call this helping?
Yes, I call this helping. I do everything for that little creep. I walk him home. I help him with his homework. I cook. I clean up. I do the dishes. What do?
I work. Go to your room.
So then Eric's there. So everybody leaves. Eric's there eating his food at the family table while the family's dealing with their emotions. And then a little bit later, they hear something and they go downstairs. And I don't even know. It doesn't really say, it's fine, but Eric somehow puts together an old fashioned, was old fashioned to us, right? But puts together a projection show and finds film of their dad. And so is like watching this family video. So all the family comes together and everybody's crying, including Eric. And
well,
then
we were watching stuff a couple scenes before that.
Oh my gosh, I'm the worst. Okay.
Did you watch this movie?
I did. Oh my gosh.
She was showing him stuff, and before dinner, he was like trying to get it to work again. So okay. When everybody like went to their rooms, he put it on, and that's a very sad scene.
It made me cry. That was the only part in the movie where I was like, oh my god, I'm crying like I do in Pinocchio right now. It's sad.
I did too.
Okay.
Oh. I was shocked. I was like, what's happening right now? What's wrong with my eyeballs?
Oh my god.
It was very sad. It was a very sad, because you start to get that like this family is really messed up still. from the horrible death of the dad, which he starts to find out more and more about it. Like, yeah, he got cancer and then killed himself.
Yeah.
Apparently from the beginning.
Yeah.
Like right away. And this is the scene where they all kind of break down towards the end. It's like, this is really hard to watch at times.
I know. And let us not forget as well, Fred Savage's character. I'm forgetting his name in the movie.
Lewis.
I don't want to say it's an obsession, but he's really like this. He's really into war. And also he builds the graveyard in the back.
He buries his little graveyard when they die in battle.
So already I'm like, okay, he's processing his grief through this role playing with toys.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nobody's talking.
I noticed that.
Yes. Well, don't worry. Oh, I was like, oh, that's strange. And then they go on that field trip, right? A school field trip to like it was like a botanical center or something. Yeah. Like we have, you know, and so they're there. And of course, Millie sees the popular kids, which between you and me and the listeners, what was why? I guess they were somewhat important. So you could see like Millie wanted to be with them.
Oh, they were the b****s. I don't know why you'd want to hang out with the b****s, but that's what they
were. It's such a trope, right? But, and then, so she sees them and then good girl Millie, who I thought was just like, just kind of strays from the crowd, which gave me instant anxiety.
And leaves Eric just there. I mean, she's supposed to be with him and nonstop. And
yeah. And so she's like, screw this. I'm busting out of this place, and then goes and I don't know, gets this wild idea of, oh, look at that flower. Well, you're in a botanical garden, girl.
That's
and then,
what they were trying to get to.
Yes. And like, you can't pick the flower. So already I was so annoyed. Like, don't pick the foliage. And then she stands up on that bridge, this beautiful bridge in the middle, and she tries to get it.
And she falls and smacks her head. And it looks really painful.
It looks awful. And then she wakes up. She's in the hospital because she's had a concussion. And here's where I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for Jay and I to talk about this. You're not cheating right now. You're not going online to see who the psychiatrist, don't you dare. Okay. Oh,
it's the lady from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
It's Nurse Ratched.
Yeah,
it's Nurse Ratched.
I don't know what her actual name is. I can't remember it. But
yeah. So yeah. So that was kind of like, oh my God, why is she here?
Yeah.
Isn't she nice? And that's when you come to find out that, you know, she really believes the girl, Millie, believes that like, oh, Eric can fly. And what's reality versus
dream?
Like, yeah,
dreams that Eric shows up and brings her the flower, and they go flying away like Superman and Lois, and they see fireworks. It's like this kind of romantic scene because Millie mentions early in the movie that, you know, if Eric wasn't necessarily the way that he is,
yeah,
you know, she might be attracted to him. And I'm like, well, that's rude.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
but also. So it's like, well, is there going to be like a romance thing? And then they have this dream sequence that I kind of forget. And then I did think it was kind of funny, like before that moment where she smacks her head and everything leading up to it, it's Eric kind of coming out of his shell. He still doesn't talk. He doesn't talk at all.
He smiles. Yeah.
He smiles at her like, you're a dummy. When she tries to put together a paper airplane, he's like, that is not how you do it, you stupid idiot.
That's yeah.
But I love you. That's the same. There was a lot of emotion. A lot of feelings in that one look.
Yeah.
And then he opens up to her more and more, and it's like this happy movie. And then all of a sudden, like the second half of this movie gets dark and depressing really quickly.
Yes, it does.
Millie starts to say that she thinks that Eric caught her. And that's when the mom's like, oh no, you're nuts. Instead of, oh, you have a concussion, which they already said that she did. The mom's like, oh, I got to get a psychiatrist in here immediately.
Yes. And then that's where it was like, it reminded me a little bit of Good Will Hunting, where that psychiatrist is just like, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. It's not your fault, over and over again. Because this psychiatrist to Millie was like, so I hear your dad committed suicide. No, he didn't. No. Well, and then
that was really sad too. I'm like, well, did he actually have cancer? And then you find out with the scene with Lewis when he's starting to kind of finally come out and what's wrong with him, it's like, oh, it was both. He didn't actually die of the cancer, but that's what started everything, I think.
Yes. Millie's like, oh my God, I want to get home. And then is that like Eric's gone then?
Yeah. So Eric gets taken away to a home. I don't know why. I don't know why
they leads up to it.
Trying. Like, I'm like, well, I don't get why this would keep happening. But the uncle's like, yeah, he's gone.
I know.
I got a little too drunk. So it looks like the worst possible place. It's exactly where all of these homes looked like in the 80s. I mean, maybe they were like that. I have no idea. But
yeah,
it was like the worst possible place in the world.
And so they're like, all right, Unky, we're going to go visit our boy. Unky doesn't. He stays there probably drinking his wine. The family, they go to visit Eric at this hospital. and whatever, HIPAA. They didn't have HIPAA back then, but it was very much like, no, no, only if you're a family member. Mm-hmm. And there was one part where I did almost cry again, but I was like, why is this movie doing this to me? Is when you see Eric in the room, just in a bed full of other beds, full of other patients. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to the window,
walking on the floor, and
yes, so it's like stereotypical and institutionalized place. But he goes and he looks out the window because he hears the dog bark, which is their dog, and he sees it, and he wants to say something, and I really thought like, is he gonna say Millie? But he doesn't.
No, he's trying. You can see he kind of wants to. Apparently, he's never spoken his entire life, but then things got much worse when his parents died.
Yeah.
He's like banging on the windows, trying to get out. Then they're like muscling him away. And I was like, oh, this is getting really horrible. And,
I know.
And, you know, we mentioned earlier, Lewis has been trying to get around the block. There's bullies.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging around the block. And he's got this big wheel, which I thought was funny because I'm like, how old is he? Because it seems like he's a little too old to be on that big wheel.
I know.
They won't let him by. And it's actually Geneva's little brother, who's just a real piece of
yeah.
And all of his friends are too.
And they have a Doberman pincher.
Lewis is trying to train their dog, Max, to fight back and help him. And when Max runs away, he finally sees him when he gets to the house. And he's like, get over here, because he's across the street. Then Max gets hit by a car. I'm like, oh, my God. So Eric's institutionalized. The uncle's like just completely drunker than he's ever been. Millie's concussed and maybe crazy. And now they've ran the dog over.
Yeah. And so now little brother is just like, well, this is a straw that broke the camel's back. All my feelings are being suppressed. Mm-hmm. I'm a little boy in the 80s. This is how I was raised. You don't talk about your feelings. And then the dog gets killed and boom, it's awful.
The dog doesn't die. The dog doesn't get killed.
You're right. Oh, God, I'm sorry. In that moment, I was like, well, here we go.
No. And yeah. He thinks the dog's dead. He's mad that Eric's been put away. And Millie's like, the vet said there's a good chance he's going to be okay and everything's fine. And then he just kind of freaks out because dealing with everything with the dad and then being faced with potential death again. I'm like, this is some heavy shit that I remember loving when I was like 5 and 6 years old.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this movie so many times and it's completely over my head. I mean, I wouldn't notice any of that, but I was watching yesterday. I'm like, oh my God, this is like really. Yeah. A much deeper movie than I was expecting.
I have to ask you this, Jay. So here's where it got a little bit muddy. And please don't laugh at me. And please don't ask, did you really watch the movie? Because yes, I did. Mm-hmm. How does Eric end up outside in a car with a blanket? What is happening? I don't know what.
Okay,
what did I miss?
They go outside and Lewis at one point tries to jump out the window because he wants to be crazy like Eric and just not deal with things and pretend like he's going to fly. So Millie brings him in and then Lewis freaks out, goes outside because all of a sudden he needs to save some of his G.I. Joes that are going to be a big, horrible storm.
That's right. And so they're digging them up.
There's like a specific one that he needs to save. And it's really sad because the mom's looking at Millie like, what's going on? She goes, we just have to help. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm 14 years old for sakes. And so they finally find it and they're going in and Millie looks up at the neighbor's house where Eric lives and he's like standing on the roof again with lightning crashing. And so I think he just flew home. I don't know how he got outside, but I think he just flew home.
Okay. That, you know what? Yes, that makes sense because I was like, that's not really a secure place he was staying. Clearly he was able to break free, which good for him, but I was very confused for a second. So
well, she climbs back up there and goes into like their attic where Eric is. And he's in there freezing because he's been flying all night to get home. There's a lot of questions when it comes to the flying.
Okay. Yes.
He gives her a ring.
Oh, that's right.
Box. And I don't know if it's like, it can't be the parents because.
Unless, but no, it could have been recovered from the crash site.
I guess that's true. So he gives her a ring. So I'm wondering in his head, are they married?
Ew.
I'm like, are they married now?
They're married. Stop it. I thought like, it was too soon to be a promise ring. Definitely too soon to be. It's like a metal friendship bracelet for a finger.
I guess so. So okay? Like a ring. So then the next morning, the people come to get him. The uncle's drunk in the steps like, oh, you can go up there if you want. I don't care. And they sneak out of the house somehow. I have no idea how.
Oh, that's right.
The school's having like a carnival or something.
Thank you. I was so confused. I'm like, why are all the popular, like those popular kids at this little podunk fair? And then you see the gym teacher and then it's like, cool. Oh, okay.
So they are trying to escape. It becomes like a real E.T. section of the movie where they're being chased by people from the hospital and they end up getting to the roof, and it's like, well, there's only one way down. And Emily looks at Eric. She's like, can you fly? And he just nods his head like, yep. And then they put their arms out like he's done a trillion times outside. And
were you at all nervous? Did you remember this part?
No, I honestly didn't remember how this movie ended.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I knew he flew, but I couldn't remember what the deal was.
Yeah.
So then they basically jump off the building like they're going to kill themselves. And they show her mom. And she, like, turns her head like, oh, God. Like, she's about to watch her daughter splatter all over the ground.
Yes.
And then they fly over everybody. And everybody's chasing them like, oh, wow, look what Eric's doing. Everybody seems to be in awe, but also, like, not as freaked out as they should be.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're flying. And also, I feel like maybe he should have had a better grip on her other than just her hand.
I know.
He can't fly.
And I honestly feel like that isn't practical. I feel like, okay, if you can fly, maybe you're superhero. She would have just been dangling, I feel like. She shouldn't have been flat like that, like he was. But I was just like, okay, that's weird. The aerodynamics of this all.
It's the same it's the same thing in the first Superman movie, too. Lois, the exact same thing. And I'm like,
No,
that wouldn't work.
That wouldn't work. Also sort of annoyed with these people. Mm-hmm. Who, like, the popular kids or whatever were like, wow, cool. And I'm like, you guys were mean to him. So whatevs.
We forgot to mention, too, the flower that she tries to get. She does see on her windowsill. So, like, Eric is able to get it. And she's like, oh, that proves he flew. I'm like, well, no, he's taller than you. He could have just done the same thing you did and not fallen. But I assume he did fly to it now. And he flies her back to their houses. And then he says her name, Millie. And then he says, I love you. And then he says goodbye. And he flies away.
Oh, he does. But can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Because this is important.
Okay.
Because any woman or girl watching that scene, we all had the same thought of, how dare you give me my first kiss in front of all these people? That's freaking embarrassing. Get your flying ass in here and do it properly. I don't want to be kissed in front of your drunk uncle and my mom.
But he doesn't really move his mouth at all. So, like, she's really doing the kissing, which I thought was really funny.
He just, like, went in like,
by the way, I did it the first time.
Oh, same here, honestly. Same. My first kiss, like, kissing my grandma.
Faces, right? That's it. I don't know what to do.
Tight, just very tight. It was tight. And then he's just like, goodbye. And then off he goes. And I was like, is he going into space? That's like, is he an alien?
Where is he going? He is not fit to live on his own and fly. Where's he going?
He has no money.
No money.
Jay, was there ever The Boy Who Could Fly Part 2?
No.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, we don't know where he's going. Although, he might have been closer than we think. Well, okay, so he flies away. And then there's, like, his montage of, oh, they did tests on me because I was so close to him. They did tests on...
Oh, yeah.
And his uncle, which is funny, both of the times that she says they ran tests on us, it's just putting a tongue compressor on the tongue and them saying, ah. I'm like, that's it? That's how you're doing this?
Cool.
They do that, and then you see that, like, Eric finally does make it, or not Eric, Lewis finally does make it around the block with the help of a squirt gun that has piss in it.
Oh, my God!
Which is this, Fred Savage has two movies where he attacks bullies with pee.
On the second one is one of my favorites. You and I, have we ever, did you?
Little Monsters?
We need to talk about Little Monsters. I've
covered that on the show before.
Oh, God. Yeah. Little Monsters. There's piss in my apple juice. Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he's like, and the bully's like, what are you going to do? Shoot me with water? No. And she goes, it's piss. And he just rides around.
And the dog's back.
Saves him. Max comes and saves him from the Doberman, which I was like, awesome. Glad the dog's okay. And
The mom gets her shit together. She locks herself in her room and learns Microsoft 360 in a day or whatever
computer
they're using. So
everything's going well for everybody.
Everybody's happy.
And then we get back to Millie, and she's in her windowsill making a paper airplane the way Eric taught her. And she throws it and it goes past his house, and then it comes back to her, or it starts to come back to her, and then it goes to credits. So I'm like, was he just on the other side of the roof?
Because that's
where's Eric?
Where's Eric?
Or something and hide?
And honestly, wouldn't you, if your parents died in a horrible way, like a plane crash? I don't know. I guess I wouldn't really be into paper planes. That's cool.
He kind of became a plane. Like, that's literally all he ever does. He just makes paper planes nonstop and and puts his arms up like he's got wings, and that's his existence.
I really wish in a perfect world that we would figure out what happened to Eric. I really want the cast to reunite. I need some closure. I don't like movies that end like this, but
yeah, I mean, and it's so funny because really they do not try to explain anything of why he can do all this. And, you know, I've realized watching movies like that, they don't, like Shauna and I watched Mannequin not that long ago, and they don't really explain why she can do the stuff that she does. Why she just can appear as a mannequin. I'm like, oh yeah, this is an 80s thing. Things just happen. And they're like, just deal with it. This is how it is.
Here we go. Yep.
Why? And
well, I know. I am glad that we finally made this happen. I loved watching the movie. At one point, like, Jack was gone. Lucy was home with me. She had to leave. Dylan took Lucy out, but Dylan, I could tell he wanted to stay and watch it. I want to stay.
How like affected and into it I got. I was like, wow, I actually still a good movie.
Yeah. Thanks for breaking my heart into a million pieces yesterday and then sewing them back up. So yeah,
me too. I was like, wow, I didn't expect that while I was watching The Boy Who Could Fly in my 40s, but here we are. Volunteers.
The Rewatch Podcast is an Alpha Media production.
Good. Bye.